You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
Hey guys, Randy Zuckerberg here.
Hi everyone, it's Neil Patel, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle.
This is the motherfucking CEO, Andy Frisella. You're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle with Alex Quinn.
Become an authority and thought leader in your niche. Join a free private community of entrepreneurs and professionals looking to grow their business and optimize their performance. Get easy to learn resources and materials that empower your personal and financial success. Easily accessible for free on desktop and mobile app. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to access now. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
What's going on, everyone? This is Alex Quinn, and you're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. We have Kristen Lee here with us today. What's up, Kristen?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you're an entertainment business manager, badass. Loved your story when I came across it. Had to have you on here. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So what's going on? Where are you at right now?
I am blessed to be in sunny Palm Springs, California. I've been quarantined here at my house for a whole year. Worst places to be.
Right?
Yeah.
So tell me, you've always been out there? You were born out there?
No. My offices are in LA and Seattle, and we recently branched out to Nashville, so kind of bounce around a lot.
Okay.
But when quarantine started, I came out here to the desert thinking we'd be here for a few weeks and then we'd get back to it, you know, but here we are a year later, still here.
So. I'm glad to see that you guys are expanding despite changes in the industry. That's super cool that you guys are opening up in Nashville. Talk to me about the business. Yeah. Talk to me about what you guys have going on right now.
So we represent a wide variety of people in the entertainment space. So a lot of touring musicians, producers, writers, we've got actors, directors, some high level executives. So we kind of manage anything that has to do with their finances and their money. So accounting, bookkeeping, taxes, insurance, some financial planning, cash flow planning, make sure that their businesses are running smoothly.
Yeah, that's the part of the business that people don't see or think about sometimes that is probably the most important. That's holding everything else up.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody wants to glorify, you know, the agents, the managers and stuff, which they do an amazing job. It's just totally different than what we do. And our job is crucial to their success.
Yeah, everybody plays an important role. Everybody has that piece to the puzzle that's essential.
Yeah, it's a team effort.
So how'd you end up doing this?
I used to be a touring musician myself many, many moons ago. And I kind of realized that I was doing a lot of the business stuff and my parents are accountants. So I kind of just fell into it. And then someone found me my first business management job after I had finished my accounting degree. And I was like, oh, this is it for me. This is the dream gig.
That's amazing that you turned it into what it is now. That's super cool. And you get to bounce ideas off your parents and, you know, just have that type of support and wisdom and experience on your side. It must be really cool.
Yeah. It really came together.
Yeah. I rely on my parents a lot for feedback. And, you know, my mom works in a very similar field. So I'm able to share ideas with her and she gives me her point of view. It's really cool to be able to do that. Talk to me about your client base. Talk to me about the type of people you work with.
So like I mentioned before, lots of different people in the entertainment space, this really diverse group of people. We represent a large number of women, LGBTQ clients, people of color. I think at least 65% of our roster is made up of that diverse group of people, and as well as my firm and my staff, very diverse staff and largely women. We only have one man at the firm. So it's nice to perpetuate women.
I saw that. It was just only one guy and you recently hired him, right? He works directly with you?
He's been with me for a couple years now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fantastic. He takes very good care of all the ladies. we are so pleased to have him on the team. But, you know, it's definitely been a point of pride for me to employ a large number of women who are extremely talented and intelligent. So
what inspires you to support that?
Entertainment is such a boys' club, and I do see that shifting more recently, but, you know, spanning back decades, this is run by, you know, older white men, and that's not representative of who is out there creating and actually working in this space. And so, you know, one of my clients has on their website says something like, you can't create content about us without us. And that resonated so hard with me and made me realize, yeah, we have to all, you know, be out there on the playing field if we want this to look like, you know, the space that it really is. And in order to do that, I needed to make sure that I was focusing on uplifting and empowering those people's voices that I wanted to see amplified, of people who were more like me and had more of my background, as opposed to just seeing, you know, the cookie cutter plain things that we'd been, you know, dealt for so many years.
I love to see that you're representing and you're not forgetting, you know, what really matters, and still grow the business, right? Still be able to scale across multiple locations and have staff, be able to employ people. That's a,
yeah,
it's not only a big accomplishment, but it's a blessing in a time when things change in the music industry in the last year. It's been rough for a lot of people. So,
yeah.
But I know you're on top of everything. I saw your background, and I see you're in on cryptocurrency, you're in on NFTs, you're really well informed on what the hell is going on out here. I want to pick your brain. I want you to tell me, like, what you're thinking. How does the industry look to you right now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this space is changing rapidly and drastically, and we're diving in. I mean, we've got clients who are really poking into this NFT space and wanting to create this digital content. And so I've had one client do a very successful NFT release so far, where this was so cool. They did an NFT for every stem of a track. And then once all of those NFTs were unlocked, then the stems were available to everybody to go and remix the track and do all kinds of stuff with it. So that was really fun. And we had high engagement on that. I've got somebody else that's working on doing a big NFT release in the coming weeks too. And a lot of my clients, they're young and they're super tech savvy, and they've been in this crypto space for a minute. And I'm watching it, but it's interesting because we don't really know how this is going to play out long term. There's no precedent. The tax implications of it are still kind of wonky. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, definitely keeping a strong eye and making sure that I'm staying up to date on it and staying with my clients as they get further into it. And we'll just see how it goes.
What sticks out to me the most right now is just the infrastructure behind it all, right? Not necessarily the hype behind the NFTs and the prices, and, you know, that's all very new, and there's a lot of hype going around. But just for the people that really understand the framework behind blockchain, that understand crypto, we'll start to see what things could be looking like in the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to be very exciting stuff for entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why we're seeing, like, the US Treasury is investigating some kind of blockchain currency, you know, and I think there's a security aspect to it that's unique. The watermarking and of the entire, you know, technology is, it's definitely going to change things. I have people who feel very strongly that this is going to be a more major currency in the next 5 years, if not completely replacing currency as we know it. I don't know if we're that close to it going that wide, but you know, we'll see.
We'll see how it plays out. All we got to know is that we got to be on top of it. We got to be well informed and just see as the industry innovates and changes and be able to adapt with it and grow with it.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game. Just be consistent, show up. Read, learn,
educate yourself. Yeah, definitely. Do a lot of that.
Yeah. Do you have set time a week or a day that you put aside towards like reading or studying, educating yourself?
I read the news every morning, especially with things like this that are, you know, happening so quickly. I'm always trying to see who's doing what and why and how they're executing it and having those conversations. Clubhouse has been really interesting for that. I pop into a lot of Clubhouse chats lately. I've spoken on a few of those. And then, you know, just general continuing education, because I'm an accountant by trade. So we have requirements where we have to do so many hours every year of keeping up to date on tax laws and things like that. So I do a lot of that. There's, you know, the IRS does webinars and things, and there's all kinds of fun things.
Do they know? I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah, well, every time they issue changes in guidelines, they've got to keep us up to speed. So they usually have somebody will come disseminate all that information. We can just kind of tune in. So I do a lot of that.
I love that. Now, what books do you recommend for young entrepreneurs that are trying to get focused and organized, something that may have changed your life that you're like, man, this is something that I got to mention?
Oh, wow. Books. I don't read a lot of business books, to be honest. I feel like I've been really in tune with my personal development, you know, where I feel like that is really important for an entrepreneur, is taking care of yourself. Like, your health is your wealth, right? You got to take care of your mind, your body, your spirit, so that you can be your best self showing up and also be creative and be motivated, because all of those things come from here, you know, and they come from here. Well, you can see me, I'm pointing at my head, my heart, for those who can't see me. So I feel like taking care of myself has been really, really important to my success. So I was recently listening to Unfuck Yourself.
Okay.
I do a lot of Audible. I don't know if you like audiobooks, but I love Audible because I can just throw it on, you know, when I'm, you know, doing whatever. So that's one that I've been listening to. I've got one in the wings, actually, that is a more business book. It's called The Entrepreneur Roller Coaster by Darren Hardy. I haven't started that yet.
The Entrepreneur Roller Coaster. I read a lot about personal development too, because I'm always trying to figure out ways to hack the system, be better, be more efficient, have more energy, you know, remove limiting beliefs. All that type of stuff is really important. More like people think it's all about business, but I mean, half the time or most of the time, it's you against you.
It really is. Yeah, having that confidence and just taking risks. I mean, when I started my firm, I called all my clients and told them what I was doing. And I had no idea. I was leaving a salary job that I'd been very comfortable in for a long time. I was, you know, making good money, and I had a mentor who was supporting me, but I knew to take that leap to, you know, make the next big step that I wanted to make and to make an impact that was much larger than what I was going to be able to do there. I had to go out on my own. And I was like, shit, I hope that I can pay my rent in 6 months when my savings runs out, you know? But luckily everything just continued to go. And I'm so happy that I took that shot. And when I called my clients and have moved around to other firms in the past, you know, also big risk, thinking people are going to be like, okay, we'll see you later. A lot of them are like, well, I'm coming with you, right? You're not leaving me.
Nice.
So nice. I've been really, really fortunate, you know, to have that. But it was learned confidence, you know, and in taking the risk and being afraid and facing the fear and just doing it anyway.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
Whatever direction you're going to head in business or in life, whether you're going to get a job or career, you know, we all get nervous. We all get, you know, we all get insecure sometimes, or maybe we feel like we're maybe not making the right decision. That's perfectly normal. That shouldn't be a signal for somebody to back down. I always say that's very important. And I want to mention, I saw in an interview that you where you spoke about improving inefficiencies of antiquated business models and finding innovative ways to serve your clients. What's a recent example of one way you implemented that and something that sticks out to you?
Well, so as you know, the pandemic came at us hard and fast, and we all found ourselves having to work at home pretty quickly. And I was so fortunate that I had already migrated all of my firm's accounting software, filing systems, and everything to a secure cloud prior to that. So our transition to working at home wasn't as clunky as it could have been if we hadn't already started making those moves. Everything that I do technology-wise within the firm is to be more efficient. I want my staff to be able to put out top quality work in as little time as necessary. I don't like people to waste time on stuff that, you know, could be better suited to higher level thinking and serving our clients better. I don't want to be doing busy work all day. I want to be able to help my clients think big of what's next and how we can grow their business or start something new and where that's going. And in order to do that, you can't have your mind muddled with just day-to-day little things here and there. You got to really be able to free up that space for creativity. So technology has been really, really important to me and my firm.
Yeah, you always got to stay ahead of the curve because you never know what's going to get thrown your way. And it's better to be proactive than reactive always, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I actually just told one of my staff this morning, I was like, we've got to be faster on these things. We've got to be a step ahead of the clients. They're moving so fast. You know, our clients are smart. They're creative. They are tech savvy. And they're moving a mile a minute. It's just like so insane. So it's important that we're one step ahead of them even so that we're not kind of smacked in the face with some situation and we can make sure we're, you know, assisting them the best we can.
Yeah, that's how you stay growing and expanding. Now you said two years ago, you said that there wasn't enough business managers who are women in the industry. Has this changed since then?
I think so. I actually was on a business manager peer group Zoom meeting thing the other day and there were more women on there than I expected, which was really awesome. I hadn't known really or heard any of them. So it was really nice to see that the space is expanding and a lot of them have started their own companies and probably for similar reasons that, you know, I did. And I'm just happy to see that space expanding and hope that they're also working towards, you know, more equality in our industry. And they're also representing clients that, you know, are the same. So we'll see. It's exciting. I think women are having a moment.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. You talked about Clubhouse a little bit ago, and I've been in some Clubhouse rooms where there's some badass girls making some moves out there. I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Like what a great platform for everybody to be able to share their experience, right? Because on Instagram, you're just posting and it's everybody's highlight reel. But when you're on Clubhouse, you could really have those genuine conversations with people and really find out what's going on and how you could help each other. It's been really cool. I've met a lot of great people on there.
Yeah, me too. I've been really networking on there and it's been really fun. And then I've been asked to come into other rooms to speak from there. And it's been interesting. I wasn't sure how the whole thing was going to work in the beginning, but I think it's kind of, you said it's really raw. You just get people go in there and just have these conversations and see where it takes you. Sometimes things go really off the rails. I've been in somewhere, I'm like, wow, I got to get out of here. This took a left turn. But, you know, a lot of the times there's a lot of stuff that can pique your interest and there's definitely some good networking going on in there. So I'm excited to see how we continue to use it.
Kristen, let me ask you a question that I ask people all the time. And I think this is a very important question because, you know, we could do a lot in business. We can make a lot of money. We could do all these things, right? That people could define as success. But how do you want to be remembered?
Wow. You know, I want to be remembered for helping people, especially women. I want to be known for educating and empowering women. I think that there's a lack of education in the financial world for women and has been for decades. I was really fortunate to not have that experience because I was raised by strong women who taught me a lot of the foundational things that I needed to be successful in this space. but not everybody has that. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of just, there's a lack of education. And I think a lot of shame around money in general. People can get really cagey about it. And I just want women to feel more empowered, you know, about their finances and face things head on and not be influenced by outside things like Instagram, for example. You know, we've all talked about influencers kind of keeping up with the Joneses things. And even my clients have issues with that. You know, they want to keep up with whoever their peers are flying around in private jets and stuff. And I'm like, you're not quite there yet, you know, but maybe if you keep at it, it's also, it's, you know, understanding what's going on. Numbers don't lie. It's black and white data. It's math. You can't make it up. I mean, I guess you could, but then that's illegal. But you have to pay attention to those things, especially as a business person. It's really important to stick closely to, you know, the financial health of your business and to do regular check-ins on that and to understand, even if it's just the basics of, you know, what a P&L is and what your cash flow looks like and how that is impacted by your decisions. You know, every decision that we make as a business owner has some sort of impact on the overall health of and success of what we're doing. And so you got to pay mind to that and make sure you're tuned into it. So I want to make sure that, you know, people stop being afraid of it and going, oh, the numbers, the accounting, I don't do that. I just bring all my receipts to somebody and throw it in their face. It's like, embrace your shit.
Yeah, because that's going to be the foundation of ultimately what you end up building. And that leads to my next question. When it comes to spending habits, and specifically spending habits that you see on your clients, what has been one of the most effective ways to curb any bad spending habits that could potentially put their business or career at risk?
Put it in their face. You know, like I said, the numbers don't lie. This is black and white data. And so when we've got a client who's kind of gone off the rails doing some bad behaving, we show them their bad behavior and how it's impacting them and say, do you want to continue on this path? Because if you do this long term, this is what's going to happen to you. Your cash flow is going to go in the negative. You're going to run out of money, or, you know, you're not going to be able to do the other thing you said you wanted to do because all of your money is going to this thing instead of, you know, what you said you wanted to do. So it's, do your actions line up with your words? And make them take ownership of it. They need to be accountable for their actions and decide for themselves and for their business if that's the road they want to go down. So again, it's a lot of education and, you know, accountability is really, really important there.
Let's say I'm a small business owner, right? I'm getting started. I can't be spending a ton on accounting. I maybe don't even have the knowledge to know everything that I need to do. How many times should I be meeting with a finance professional? Is it something I should be doing once a month? What are some best practices for people that are just getting started so they could actually be organized with this stuff?
When you're just starting, I would say, yeah, you probably want to do a check-in as much as possible. Once a month sounds great. There are also a lot of tools out there on the internet that can be used. You know, there's QuickBooks Online. Zero is another one. And I've got clients who, you know, don't have a lot of accounting experience, but have come to us and had at least some kind of system like that. You know, a lot of those things, the bank transactions, credit card transactions, all those things populate in automatically. And you can watch tutorials online. They've all got them. And you can kind of learn how to do some light bookkeeping on your own and then go to an accountant once a month or every quarter and have them review it with you and clean up what needs to be cleaned up. But stay in tune, like, especially in the beginning, a lot of businesses don't make it past the 2-year mark because, you know, they run out of money or it just didn't work out. And it's probably because they're just flying by night instead of, you know, paying attention to these little things. And especially in the beginning, you should really, really pay attention to the financial aspect of your business, like really, really close attention to it.
It's important because, you know, I can't tell you how many people I've met that haven't paid their business taxes in 2-3 years because they just don't know. They just think, let me just go open this business. Let me just start making some money. And then before you know it, you have problems with the IRS, or if you're collecting sales and use tax and you haven't paid it back, now you got issues like...
Yep. They're levying accounts. We see it. Clients come to us like, ah, help. You know, like the state of California just took a bunch of money out of my bank account. And it's, well, you didn't pay your franchise tax, you know? And yeah. And you got to do those things. And I understand it is a lot. It's a massive undertaking to learn all of those things. But that's why you need to put somebody in place or ask for help, you know, where that might be not be your strong suit. So there's tons of resources on the internet. I know there's accountants galore, there's business managers galore. There's lots of YouTube videos.
Yeah, no, I'm going to link some of the tools and some of the stuff that you've talked about on the show notes. So guys, if you're listening, send me some stuff. I'll link it on the show notes, guys. You'll be able to find it, whatever platform you're listening on right now. Just go to the episode description. You'll see all the links, or you could go to hustleinspireshustle.com/podcast and find our episode where you'll see everything we talked about. And you'll be able to get a visual of what we're doing here. But thank you so much for being here with us today. Hopefully we could have you back sometime soon. I feel like there's a lot of things that we could learn from you that my community could learn from you. And, you know, I look up to the stuff that you're doing. I think it was really cool. When I heard your story and it was brought up to us by the team, I was like, you know what? This sounds like a really good opportunity for us to get to know each other and then potentially help a lot more people out. I want to be able to, this is the reason why we're here today, right? We're here to teach others through our experience, and hopefully you guys got some value from this. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with somebody you love, and join us next time.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Alrighty guys. See you in the next episode.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's AlexQuin. See you on the next episode.